We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking week 16, expected points and advanced quarterback rushing stats on RotoViz Radio. Welcome to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I am Curtis Patrick, joined by Dave Caban. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz. And before we get into tonight's show, I just want to briefly, eulogize a true legend in the NFL game, Coach John Madden, legendary coach, legendary broadcaster, and of course, proprietor of, the most famous video game of all time, in my estimation. John Madden has passed at the age of 85. We learned just before we started this recording. And, what it all really boils down to for me, Dave, with Coach Madden is just his passion. Like, no matter the age, like going back to age 10, hearing him call games and then his video game literally helped me fall in love with the game of football. And then after I was already hooked, listening to him talk about the great ones play, listening to him talk about Jerry Rice, Brett Favre, call those games with Al Michaels, a lot of my really fond memories of the game in my more formative years really are linked to and can't be extracted from John Madden. And so he's a personality that hasn't been part of the game in the past couple years as he's battled, health problems, and faded from the public eye, but it's still, it's sad. It's sad, but he leaves a huge mark on the game, and it is what it is today as an entertainment, package because of his contributions. And you won't find a coach or player who was linked to him at some point in their career who doesn't have respect for him, and his contributions on the sidelines as well, Dave. So I was going through favorite memories, and this is how he transcended just sports. When my wife heard that he had died, we were reminiscing about games that she remembers that he's called. And I mean,
wow. Yeah.
I love football. My wife watches a lot of football, but for my wife to know, she's like, I said, remember the Brett Favre game? And she's like, yeah, the one where his dad died the day before. And like, that's in 2003. Like, my wife remembers that. We were like teenagers. And that's Coach Madden, man. Just listening to him talk about the game, like, it just imprints on your brain. So I have cracked a bottle that I've never cracked before, and I have always wanted to, in his honor. This is a Lagavulin single malt scotch whiskey, aged 16 years. One of the greatest scotches in the world. And I've got a single pour here for Coach. Dave, you want to share a memory about Coach while I drink this one in respect?
Yeah, definitely. Well, one of my favorite things about Madden was how much he loved to use the Telestrator. And I can remember as a kid just like loving when yes, he would take it. Like, yes. There was one time there was trash like flying across the field, like getting pushed by the wind, and he got out the Telestrator to circle, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever. It was just stuff like that, like not afraid to just have fun with it. And I can remember like my best friend and I growing up, like sometimes we would mute the TV and like try to pretend to be Summerall and Madden calling the game and stuff. So yeah, too many games in my mind, linked back to like listening to Madden Summer, I'll call it, like some of those really great games between the Niners and the Packers and the Cowboys back in the, you know, like I guess late 90s probably is what I remember from.
Yeah, he did so much of the Fox work back then that you really remember a lot of the NFC games in particular. All the great calls on Barry Sanders, Brett Favre, lots of great NFC teams. And then, you know, the Thanksgiving Day games with the turducken with, you know, six or eight legs on that thing. He just loved what he did, man. And it was infectious. And we could all learn something from the way he approached his craft, his career, his work. So, a final hat tip to Coach Madden, and I'll leave it here before we get into the episode. My favorite quote that I saw on the timeline shortly after his passing was announced was from Cooper Kupp. We're big Cooper Kupp fans on the show, and this is a quote attributed to Coach Madden: "The road to Easy Street goes through the sewer." And it's hard work that gets you there. So thanks for that last bit of wisdom there, Coach. Dave, let's get into our analysis this week. And I know we're going to hit wide receivers and quarterbacks. Let's start with the pass catchers and expected points.
Yeah, so I'm excited about some of the things I took a look at this week. This actually came out of just talking with some family members in the last couple of days where we were watching some football. The first thing I wanted to look at was the players that at tight end and wide receiver that saw the most end zone targets this season. And then we're also going to look at the players that had the best success in actually converting red zone targets into touchdowns. And the top player at that's pretty surprising, but Justin Jefferson at this point leads all players with 16 red zone targets, followed by Diggs with 14.
Wow.
Metcalf with 12. Wow. Marvin Jones actually with 12. DeAndre Hopkins at 12. Van Jefferson at 12. One of the surprising names. Jamar Chase at 11. Mark Andrews at 11. Side note on Mark Andrews: those of you that have made it pretty far in best ball tournaments are probably highly aware how many teams that had Mark Andrews have been so successful. He had 11, T. Higgins at 11, Cooper Kupp at 11, Terry McLaurin at 10, Hollywood Brown at 10, Devonta Smith at 10, Hunter Henry 10, Dawson Knox 10, CeeDee Lamb 10, AJ Green and Randall Cobb, two other surprises at 10. And of course, Randall Cobb saw a ton because he's been out for a while, Curtis.
Yeah, I would have not pulled AJ Green or Randall Cobb with 100 guesses. I wouldn't have come up with their name being on this leaderboard. This is really a fascinating list here. We could dig into this from several levels. I wonder how much of Justin Jefferson's 16 targets are due to the fact that Adam Thielen has been hurt for so much of the year. Because I mean, that's where he's really made his living the last two and a half seasons or so. But now that he's earned that trust, so long as Captain Kirk is there in Minnesota, you got to think that Jefferson's probably not letting those go. Stephon Diggs, you know, I think, you know, we've seen him corrected just a little bit in the last month as Josh Allen has really heated up. And you just wonder if that correction could continue through the latter part of the season and even into the playoffs, because, you know, he was a player that we had huge expectations for this season. And because of the depth at the wide receiver position, and then because of the Bills defensive play in particular at the beginning of the year, the Bills didn't really get into a lot of those shootouts that we were hoping would boost up some of those players. So I think you could see really some boom games from Diggs, you know, at the most critical time of the fantasy year again, like we saw last season. And DK Metcalf. I mean, it's just good players at the top of this thing. But then it is some of the names littered throughout the middle of the list that leave you scratching your head a little bit. You know, Van Jefferson, can he keep that up with OBJ in town? I would be interested to see how many of those targets came before Beckham joined the crew. But you know, now as I'm thinking back to a lot of the touchdowns that Beckham has scored since joining LA, it seems like some of them have come from further out as well, and he's ran them in. So yeah, a lot to unpack here, but always helpful to illustrate what's going on.
Yeah, and I was really surprised to see Jefferson come in ahead of Cup, because not only do you have Jefferson showing up, but you have two of the Rams players there. So this was interesting to me because we've talked about Van Jefferson a number of times on the show this year for a variety of reasons. And I think that this just makes him another one of those guys that as I'm working on building out my best ball portfolio heading into next year, I'm going to make sure that I have on, you know, a higher percentage of teams than people might expect. Then we're going to have to see, obviously, where ADP settles out. But I don't think that many people are going to realize just how good some of these numbers have been for Jefferson. And I think that heading into next season, I'm still going to feel pretty good about him. We'll have to see what ends up shaking out in the Rams wide receiver core, because we do have the variable of Robert Woods having been knocked out for the season. But nonetheless, that's pretty impressive. Also pretty cool to see Devonta Smith getting in there with 10, you know, in the rookie season, already seeing him get used in so many different ways. And Jalen Hurts has been looking his way in the end zone.
Yeah. And as Hurts' ascension continues, you would expect that we'd see more conversion from Devonta Smith and more opportunity as the team gets better at marching the ball up and down the field. So nice maybe signal there on Devonta Smith. And then for Dawson Knox to be doing what he's doing at the tight end position this year has already been very impressive, but I almost would have thought he'd been even higher up this list. 10 is solid, but that's actually to me a little bit encouraging, that it hasn't been solely his end zone targets, that have been leading to, the touchdowns and the high end fantasy production.
Yeah, for sure. So just another name that was fun to see in there. And then the other thing I looked at was I filtered things out to look at players that have had five or more end zone targets this year and converted more than 50%. I never would have guessed who the top player in this was. It's Marquez Callaway, 5 targets, Curtis, 5 touchdowns, 100% touchdown rate on end zone targets. Insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't knock him. You just wish there was more opportunity. I mean, you get 5 targets over the course of, 16 weeks now? It's just not really something that you can hang your hat on. Yeah.
So what I was trying to do after seeing that was build some type of positive Marquez Callaway case. I went back, I reviewed the Advanced Stats Explorer, NFL Player Stat Explorer, tried to pull up some things in the screener. Unfortunately, I could not come up with anything other than this is a fun find, but it does not appear to be something that we can use to hone in on Callaway as a target for next season. Amari Cooper with 4 or 5 is second at 80%. Adam Thielen, who you were just talking about, Curtis, has gone 7 for 9. So he just missed our cutoff in the last list we were looking at, 78%, which is tied with Devontae Adams, who has also gone 7 of 9. Keenan Allen, 5 of 7 for 71%. Hunter Henry has been pretty solid in recent weeks. Unfortunately, you know, had a bit of a dud against Buffalo, but has gone 7 for 10 for 70. Mike Evans, 6 out of 9. Tyreek Hill, also 6 of 9 for 67%. George Kittle, 4 of 6 for 67. Mark Andrews, again, showing up 7 of 11 for 64. The other impressive thing here is those are not all passes thrown by Lamar Jackson. Then Christian Kirk, I was surprised to see in this list, converting 5 of 8 for 63%, followed by TJ Hawkinson with 3 of 5 for 60%. And interestingly, Cooper Kupp, for as good of a year that he has had, has only converted 55%. I say only because that's still a pretty high rate. But for the fact that his fantasy points over expectation, which we'll talk about in a minute, are so ridiculous, you might have expected him to have had a better conversion rate on throws into the end zone. So I dug in a little bit on Christian Kirk here. Just wanted to see where he's fallen out in some of the other metrics. Among wide receivers, he ranks 33 in targets, 21 in receptions, just 38 in Whopper. Is 24 though in overall PPR and 31 in PPR per game. He has been really efficient though. And obviously that's somewhat reflected in his 63% conversion rate on touchdown throws. He actually ranks 9th in fantasy points over expectation per game. So I then wanted to kind of put things in perspective and see which players this year, thinking about Cooper Kupp as well from that list to see if there's been any players that have had kind of historical seasons in terms of fantasy points over expectation, given that we're now at a 16-week stretch, which is, you know, in the past what people would have normally looked at for fantasy. So since 2000 is what I looked at in the screener, wide receivers that played five or more games and averaged three or more targets per game. So Cooper Kupp ranks 22 with a full 5 points per game over expectation. We only have three other players this year finding their way into the top 100 since the year 2000. Jamar Chase comes in at 70 with 4 points per game over expectation. Henry Ruggs was at 79 with 3.9. And Antonio Brown, granted, has not played a lot this year, comes in at 91 with 3.6. So Chase and Kupp, very impressive numbers, but Cooper Kupp kind of is as we would expect in that historic range.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and with the lack of touchdowns there, there's got to be something else driving it, right? And I'm going to dive into the NFL Stat Explorer here just to cross-check my assumption from, you know, watching their games. But, you know, the yak per reception being in the top 20, and then you multiply that by his volume, that definitely has to be helping him feed it. The extra yardage that he's getting after the reception in lieu of scoring the touchdown. So yeah, Cooper Kupp, truly a transcendent year. And his the graphics in the NFL Stat Explorer are just mind-boggling, man. They're just truly mind-boggling. He's been a wide receiver one in 13 out of 16 contests this year. And then he ranks first in seven major receiving categories: targets, receptions, receiving yards, total touchdowns, PPR, PPR per game, and expected points per game. I mean, he's nearly got a full sweep, and he's not outside the top 10 in any of the other four metrics that we track, being air yards, he's fifth, Whopper, he's third, Racer, he's 10th, and then fantasy points over expectation per game, third. Just truly, truly remarkable what we're seeing from him. And it's kind of cool to see where he stacks up since the year 2000, as far back as a lot of our data goes, Dave. So I appreciate the pull.
Yeah, absolutely absurd what he has done. It's also interesting to see Jamar Chase scoring so well. Henry Ruggs surprised me. You know, unfortunately, there's really, you know, that's just a terrible situation. You know, as far as him as a player goes, I don't think there's anything to talk about there. But I also wanted to talk about quarterbacks, because I was digging in a little bit on players at the quarterback position in terms of rushing this year, as that was one of the things that was talked about a lot heading into the season, how these guys would perform as rushers and how that was kind of changing the position from a fantasy perspective with so many quarterbacks, especially young ones, really doing well on the ground. So one of the first things I looked at was yards before contact among quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes actually compiling the highest number of yards before contact of all passers with 4.6 yards before contact per rush, followed by Justin Herbert at 4.1, Sam Darnold, Tyler Huntley at 4.1, then Kyler Murray at 4, Jalen Hurts at 3.9, Justin Fields, Daniel Jones at 3.9, Taysom Hill at 3.8, and we kind of drop off from there. But interesting to see that Mahomes has really separated himself from the pack in that regard. But it's also interesting if you look at yards after contact, because I think that's where we see the guys that really have an ability as a rusher that can kind of separate themselves. At the top of the list, you actually have Zach Wilson with 3.1 yards after contact, followed by Josh Allen with 2.8, Cam Newton with 2.5, Lamar Jackson with 2.3, and then we slowly tail off from there. But the key metric in terms of quarterbacks and their rushing ability, I think, is really reflected in broken tackle percentage, where we have Taysom Hill at 13.2, followed by Cam at 13, then a drastic drop down to Josh Allen at 8.8, followed by Jalen Hurts at 8.3, then Jameis Winston at 6.2. Now, missed tackle percentage does not look to be as, I'll say, reflective of a listing of the quarterbacks that are the ones we think of when we think of great rushers. So you have Tyler Huntley on a small sample with a missed tackle percentage of 24, but followed by Josh Allen at 21, then Lamar Jackson at 20, then Matt Ryan at 19, which makes you start to question how useful of a metric this might be. Then Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Ryan Tannehill, they're in that 14 range. But we've seen Josh Allen now popping in a number of these, and it's not surprising to see him as a rusher, but it's impressive also what he's done as a passer. The game over the weekend, I mean, he was pretty much impeccable, really put the Bills offense on, really the entire team on his back in that game against New England. And he also, among all passers this year, has the most runs of 20 or more yards with 8, followed by Jalen Hurts at 6, Lamar Jackson at 5, then Justin Fields with 3. Mahomes and Taysom Hill also have runs of 3. But the other piece of this, Curtis, too, that I wanted to look at was in terms of big passing plays, where does Josh Allen stack up? So completions on passes that traveled more than 20 yards in the air, you have Kyler Murray with 31, followed by Allen with 30, then Patrick Mahomes at 26, Matthew Stafford at 25, and Derek Carr at 25. So my takeaway here from doing all of this is just how fantastic Josh Allen has been, both as a passer and as a rusher this year. And I don't think it's any surprise to people out there, but I think this is going to continue, and he really needs to be at the top of quarterback dynasty boards now as we look forward for some time. I don't think that these numbers should be pretty surprising. I don't think these are revelation, but it is impressive to see what he's doing in both facets of the game. As if you're combining both measures, he really has separated himself this year.
Yeah, as the overall number one player in fantasy, the only player with 400 fantasy points through 15 games, 16 weeks. He's averaging 26.7 fantasy points per game. Actually managed to pass Cooper Kupp over the course of the past 2 weeks. Just crazy. Again, going back to Kupp, that he's outscoring all the quarterbacks until very recently. But, you know, I tend to agree with you, and it's the things like seeing Gabriel Davis pop back up and Allen being able to connect with different types of receivers, despite missing, you know, some of the polished veterans and Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders for large stretches of the latter half of the season, seeing him connect with these different styles of players and unlock their ceilings. You know, it's the high touchdown percentage as a passer, being a top 10 yardage guy as a passer, and then sprinkling in the higher end rushing production. That's what you really want to see. You know, it's what has made Patrick Mahomes more volatile than any of us hoped he had would have been. Is, you know, he's going to be susceptible when he has a fall off of 15 passing touchdowns in a season like we've seen this year. Allen insulates himself from those types of, misguided ADP decisions because of the really high rushing floor, in addition to the other things he brings to the table. And the other quarterbacks you think that would be, you know, young enough to be in the conversation. Well, Justin Herbert brings about what Patrick Mahomes does as a rusher. They're about half as productive as a rusher in terms of attempts, yardage, and rushing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, if he were able to add more of a passing dynamic and become a little bit less dependent on the rushing touchdowns, you know, in those weeks where he doesn't get one of those short plunges and it goes to a Jordan Howard or goes to Miles Sanders, that's what's holding him back just a little bit from the sustained high-end stuff. But if we could just see him have even a 10 to 15% uptick in passing yardage, maybe he could challenge a Josh Allen. And then you go to Joe Burrow. You know, Joe Burrow's got a lot of the same appeal as Mahomes had, but is bringing even less as a rusher than Mahomes. So I think you're right. I mean, really just cutting this up, unless we were to see Dak Prescott a year removed from the significant ankle injury, take that leap back in 2022 with all the impressive weapons around him, it really is feeling like Josh Allen unchallenged for the crown right now.
Yeah. I don't want to say like surprised to see him score so strongly, but when I stacked him up with everybody else, it kind of is a little bit shocking to see. Like you said, when you have guys like Mahomes and those touchdown numbers start to come down, how things just tend to point to Allen. So we will be back, Curtis, for one more episode this week. I know that we have some listeners heading into the finals. If they have any questions, they can certainly send them our way. Any topics they want us to hit in advance of the finals. So we look forward to helping everybody out with that. Any parting words, sir? I think we have a couple of things that we might want to mention.
Well, the first thing that I wanted to mention, I reached out via email to our premium email subscribers today, but you know, we've got a different audience that's listening to us every week on this platform. If you find yourself in one of the finals of these major tournaments, Dave and I want to know about it. We want to celebrate with you. I mean, we've talked about all the teams that we have live as part of the RotoViz staff here, which is great. But we want to live vicariously through you as well. It's quite possible none of us will take it down, but to know that one of our listeners, one of our subscribers has a big sweat going, I mean, that gives us juice too. So if you're listening to this and you find yourself in the Best Ball Mania 2 final round, or the Puppy 2 or Puppy 3, or the FFPC Best Ball Tournament, or you find yourself live in the FFWC or FFPC Main Event Finals, we want to know about it. So drop us a line on Twitter. My DMs are always open to listeners, or you can just add us on the timeline. We would love to highlight your team and throw some positive vibes out there into the universe for you in week 17. May you finish second to Dave and I in your contests.
Oh, wow. Yep. That's the way to put it. All right. We will close on that note.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.